The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So our day long today is called Mindfulness of Mind, and the instructions I'm going to be offering are a little different from the usual instructions we offer during a mindfulness day long. Often we offer the instructions about settling with the breath first in our practice, and over the day, perhaps successively opening up to more and more of our experience. And that's a very helpful practice to cultivate. So what I'm offering today is a different practice. It's another tool, another way of approaching our meditative practice. I wouldn't say this is the right way, that's the wrong way. I would say that it's something to explore in your practice, a different approach to meditation that you may find supportive. So I would encourage you to see if you can follow along with the instructions today and see how this might support your practice. In particular, the instructions that I'm offering today are the same whether we are sitting in meditation or walking around in the grocery store. So this practice translates from our silent, still meditation to our daily activity meditation. I learned this approach from my Burmese teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya, and I found it to be immensely supportive in my practice to support a relaxed, yet more continuous mindfulness throughout my day. So I hope you find it supportive, and you will probably find in your practice today that you kind of gravitate back to your normal, whatever your normal meditation practice is, and that's fine. I'll actually just be asking you to notice that. Notice, and I'll offer more around that today as well. So the instructions for this style of practice are pretty simple, pretty minimal. There's a kind of three orientations we have around the instructions. And the first is to find a way to attend to experience that supports deeper happiness, that connects with a kind of meaningful purpose in our lives. So this is orienting, the Buddhist term here is orienting around wise view. What is it that supports us to let go of our habits and patterns that lead us into struggle, suffering, distress, dissatisfaction? And what is it supports us to move towards happiness, letting go, release, less suffering in our lives? So the first orientation is around looking at how do we engage with our practice that supports moving more towards happiness. And then the other two kind of activities that we engage in are cultivating a recognition of what it means to be mindful, recognizing mindfulness itself, getting familiar with that quality of being awake, and then to cultivate that mindfulness over a sustained time, to cultivate a continuity of attention. So I'll talk a little bit about these and the context of the practice, and some about the practice itself, and then we'll do a guided meditation. So one of the understandings that supports wise view, one of the understandings that supports our connecting to what helps us to let go of distress, dissatisfaction, all the habits that pull us in that direction, is an understanding that what's happening in our experience, every single one of us, what's happening in our experience is that there's stuff happening at our sense doors. There's seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching, and things going on in the mind. Emotions, thoughts. And then there is the senses recognition of that. So the knowing, how the mind recognizes experience. And that's pretty much all that's happening. Whatever's going on in our lives, Joseph Goldstein sometimes likes to say, there's only six things that happen to us. Seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching, and mental experience. We happen to prefer certain configurations of that symphony of experience. But that's pretty much all, that is all that's happening in our experience. And the orientation in our meditation practice is to begin to recognize just simply, this is just unfolding phenomenon. And the recognition of how we are with that unfolding phenomenon. So there's the stuff that's happening, sights, sounds, and then there is how we relate to that. Are we relaxed and calm about what's happening in our experience? Are we balanced? Or are we reactive, frustrated, angry, annoyed? This recognition of what's happening and our relationship to it, it's within our relationship to experience pretty much where we tend to move towards our struggles. That the habits, the patterns, the conditioning that we've lived with all of our lives manifests often in how we relate to experience. So we have a conditioning, a kind of a pattern of when we meet experience to not like it, to want to push it away, to get rid of it. And that may not be something that we're so conscious of. We may kind of know that about ourselves, but in a moment-to-moment experience, we may just be reacting without being very cognizant of our tendency to push things away, or our tendency to try to hold on to things, or our tendency to be confused and disconnected. So this recognition of the fact that there are experiences, objects of experience, and then how our mind relates to it, recognizing that there are those two things going on, and there's a distinction between those two things, is part of the understanding that supports us in this practice. And in that understanding, beginning to recognize it's really helpful to acknowledge, to open up to look at, to sense what is our relationship to experience. Because that, Gill sometimes uses the word, the how of our experience. How are we relating to our experience? There's what's happening and how we're relating to it. My teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya, calls it the attitude around our experience. What's our attitude? There's what's happening and then there's our attitude around it. And often our attitude about our experience is hidden. It's not so obvious to us. When we begin to open up to that, check into that, we see often that the tendencies, the how of our experience, reflects the ways that we get caught, the ways we struggle, the ways we suffer. And so beginning to become aware of that helps us to, rather than be acting through that how, acting through that attitude, it allows us to recognize, oh, that's happening, and gives us a little bit of a choice in, do I act from that place of aversion or greed? Or can I perhaps shift my relationship a little bit, or at least observe my relationship so that I know this is happening? The how the mind is observing, how the mind is meeting experience. You know, I initially talked about attending to experience in a way that supports our moving towards happiness, or perhaps connecting to a deeper sense of purpose and meaning in our lives. And the how of our experience, our attitude about our experience in a moment, reflects the purpose that we're actually living from in the moment. So something happens and we're angry about it and we act on that angry, our purpose is anger at that point. We may have an ideal or an aspiration of being peaceful, and at that moment we're not acting from that aspiration. And so this practice of recognizing that there's something that's happening and how we're relating to it helps us begin to recognize when we are not necessarily acting in our own deepest interests, are connected to our deeper purpose in our lives. And we don't need to judge that. It's more about beginning to recognize. It's like, this is this condition. Our minds are so conditioned. And we are kind of swimming upstream against this conditioning in our practice. And it's very natural that from time to time we get whooshed downstream again with that conditioning. So that's a kind of a context of this practice. We notice what's happening in our experience. We don't particularly focus on any one thing. This practice really tries to support a continuity of knowing moment to moment what is happening in our experience, but the emphasis is more on how are we relating to it, checking in from time to time. How am I relating to what's happening? Because that's where the suffering lies. That's where the struggle lies, is in our relationship to the experience. And so this practice goes right to the heart of where we struggle and where we suffer. Begins to open our eyes, our minds, to the ways we are engaged in our own struggle, our own suffering. So to do this practice, to actually begin to cultivate this, really helpful that we start with relaxation. Often, you know, the usual teachings of coming back to the breath over and over again does tend to create a container where the mind can settle down and be a little bit more focused or attentive. And in this practice, the relaxation helps to support that. So we begin by relaxing the body, relaxing the mind, and that relaxation begins to support us to see that when the body and mind are relaxed, there's a kind of a natural awareness that's just happening. When the mind is not kind of pulled out to the past, to the future, but is relaxed and just here, it's naturally knowing experience. It's naturally receiving experience. And so the initial exploration in the sitting practice is to cultivate a relaxation. We relax the body. Relaxing the body supports the mind to not be so pulled into past or future. And then we encourage a relaxation of mind, of not getting caught by what's happening. And then we begin to just recognize, oh, what's happening, moment to moment, what's happening. So beginning with relaxation is really helpful. Then when we move into just being aware, there are two kind of tools, very simple tools to support this meditation. Well, actually three, let's call it three. The first one is to just check in. Am I aware? You could even use that question in your mind. Initially, it can be helpful to actually ask yourself that question. And as you go through the day or begin to get more familiar with that with the practice, you begin to get familiar with what it is to actually be aware, and then you don't need to ask yourself the question anymore. It's just you know when you're aware, when you're not aware, and it's clear when you're aware and when you're not aware. So checking in first, am I aware? And then what am I aware of? So those two questions, the am I aware piece, you know, if you even remember to ask that question, the answer is yes. The point of asking the question, the point of checking in, is to begin to orient us towards what does it mean? What does it feel like to be mindful? This is the second thing I highlighted this morning. There's the cultivating wise view, cultivating this perspective that supports happiness. Then there's learning to recognize mindfulness. This question, this exploration, am I aware, begins to orient us towards what does it feel like to be aware? What does it mean to be aware? So it sounds like, you know, if you know to ask the question, then the answer is yes, so why go there? But the point of it is to help you recognize what is the experience of being aware? So that's the first part of the instruction. Am I aware? And then, paired with that, is what is present in awareness in this moment? What am I aware of? This points to just that when the mind is relaxed, aware, something will be kind of predominant for us. Something will be being picked up as the most obvious thing. That's another question I use sometimes. I frame it rather than what am I aware of. I ask myself, what's obvious? What's obvious here right now? I'm aware. What's obvious? Pressure. Hearing. Dryness. Tension. Thinking. Touching. Movement. Moment after moment, the mind naturally knows. The mind does this. The mind naturally attends to experience. We don't have to choose what we are attending to. This is one of the differences in this style of practice versus the usual practice that we teach. And it's a little bit of a shift in orientation. In our more familiar practice, we usually choose something that we're paying attention to. The breath, for instance. We pick that. I'm going to pay attention to the breath. And we orient our attention to that. And sometimes we recognize, okay, the breath, it's a little bit crunchy right now, and it's catching me up with emotions, so let me turn to hearing instead. And we pick hearing or some other experience. And so our usual meditation practice often connects a kind of willful directing, choosing of what we are paying attention to. This practice asks us to let go of that willful choosing and just see what is the mind already paying attention to. Without your doing anything, the mind is paying attention to something. So that's the exploration. It's kind of I talk about it sometimes like following the attention. The attention is naturally gravitating. You know, you're sitting here in meditation and a motorcycle goes by and, you know, your attention goes there. You don't have to think, oh, let go of the breath and attend to the motorcycle. It's there. It's already moved there. So this is this exploration is where does the attention naturally go to? And seeing if you can follow that. It's like being the passenger in the back seat of a car and just following. Where does the driver go? Kind of like it's like there's not, it's not just being stupid in the back seat of the car. You're a little bit of a back seat driver. You know, if the driver is going to take you into a burning building, you might go, oh no, don't go that way. but it is kind of allowing the it's more of a natural unfolding of how do our minds gravitate. And we learn a lot about our minds by watching how our minds gravitate to experience. And this more continual recognizing, what is it? What is it? Am I aware? What am I aware of? What am I aware of? What am I aware of? Begins to point out that, well, you know, there can be a moment of the mind kind of heading towards a thought that's related to being angry at somebody. But the next moment, there's the motorcycle that goes by and boom, the attention's on that. It's let go of that thought. And there's no need to actually tell the driver, don't go there. It's like, whew, you're on the motorcycle. And then there's a knee pain, and that's where it is. And then happiness arises, and that's what you're noticing. So this points to the third aspect that I was mentioning, this continuity of awareness, the practice of moment after moment, just This just little slight prompting. What am I aware of? What's obvious? What's obvious? What's obvious? Helps to draw a thread of mindful continuity through our practice and supports this non-reactivity. It supports just recognizing, oh, frustration's arisen. Oh, in the next moment, there's sound arising. And the frustration kind of just falls into the background. So those are the basic instructions around the mindfulness. And then the next instruction, well, let me just point a little bit to kind of the factors of the Eightfold Path that we're cultivating here with those instructions. There's in the Eightfold Path, there's a section of the Eightfold Path that's related essentially to our meditation experience, to our cultivation of mind. And that is the samadhi aspect of the Eightfold Path, three factors that come together to support our meditation practice: wise effort, wise mindfulness, and wise concentration. Wise effort in this practice isn't about choosing a particular experience, but just gently, lightly maintaining a steady connecting with experience. Just moment after moment. What am I aware of? Am I aware? What's obvious? Am I aware? What's obvious? Moment after moment. It doesn't actually take a lot of effort to do that. Right now, are you aware of hearing? Are you aware of the sensation? Can you be? I'm just going to name some experience. Can you be aware of the sensation of your buttocks touching the chair or cushion or bench? Can you be aware of your hands? How about the sensation of your lips touching? How hard is it to do that? Does it take a lot of effort to notice that? It doesn't take much effort. Pretty much, it's just a pretty light touch. Where we get confused in meditation practice, or where our effort gets overloaded, where we tend to overdo it, is essentially in trying to be mindful for a longer period of time. Like we sit down in our meditation and we think, okay, this is my 45 minutes of meditation. I'm going to be mindful for that whole 45 minutes. And it's like we pick up the entire 45 minutes in the first second and then we muster our effort, we muster our energy to try to connect with our experience. And all we really need to do is make enough effort to be present for a split second. And then do it again, and again, and again, and again. So that it's a little tiny bit of effort, moment after moment after moment after moment. Light touch of effort, moment after moment. Of course you'll forget. I mean, the mind will forget this. You'll wander off into thought and then recognize, oh, I'm back, and then you just come back to the moment. Light touch, moment after moment. Light touch, moment after moment. This light touch, moment after moment, is applicable whether you're doing this style of practice or attending to the breathing. You know, we can attend to the breathing by, again, saying, okay, I'm going to stay with the breath for 5 minutes. See if I can, okay, I'm going to stay with the breath for 10. I'll be with the breath for 10. 10 counts. But actually, it's a more restful way to be with the breath, to say, I'm going to be with this half a breath. I'm going to be with this in-breath. Can I be with this in-breath? Yeah, I can be with an in-breath. Okay, now an out-breath. Now I'll be with that out-breath. In-breath. Out-breath. Just, you know, about a second or two is as much effort as we need to make to be present. In this practice, we don't necessarily direct the attention. We just receive. What am I aware of? What's obvious? What's obvious? What's obvious? So that's the effort in this practice. Very light touch. Short moments many times. Another phrase from Joseph Goldstein: short moments, many times. And being easy on yourself when you don't remember. It doesn't benefit us when we remember that we've forgotten and then beat ourselves up about that. That doesn't help us that much. Then the mindfulness aspect of the Eightfold Path is pretty obvious. We're noticing what's happening. We're noticing the mindfulness itself, and we're noticing what is happening in the mindfulness, what we are aware of, what's obvious. And then the concentration aspect of the Eightfold Path in this practice comes from the continuity of the mindfulness. It comes from noticing moment after moment that we are aware. Essentially, the mind develops a stability of awareness that encourages non-reactivity, that supports even yet more of a stability of awareness. So we don't need to focus on one object like the breath in order for concentration to develop. This is a different style of concentration. When we turn our attention to one object, the breath, we're cultivating kind of a one-pointed concentration, letting go of everything else and coming to the breath. And that's a very helpful kind of concentration to cultivate. Today we're cultivating a different kind of concentration. We're cultivating what's called moment-to-moment concentration. It's a concentration that develops by stabilizing the attention. Mindfulness becomes stable. That's the concentration. There's a lot of change happening, a lot of dynamism happening in our experience, but the mind is present for the experience. In the one-pointed concentration, experience tends to get really still, settled, quiet. Not a lot of experience happening. In this kind of concentration, experience tends to get very dynamic, and yet the mind can be present for that dynamic experience. This is a kind of concentration that we can carry into daily lives, into our daily lives. It is pretty much the only kind of concentration we can carry into our daily lives, because we have to engage with the dynamic quality of what's going on in our daily lives. We can't just simply, you know, narrow everything down to the breath and manage to have a conversation with our boss. This practice allows us to cultivate a stability of mind with changing conditions. So that's the three aspects of the Eightfold Path with respect to this practice. The third instruction, so I offered you, am I aware? What am I aware of? The third instruction is to begin to check into this relationship with our experience. How are we relating to the experience? And the instruction is to, from time to time, check in, what is my relationship to experience? And again, you could ask yourself that question. How am I relating to experience? What's my attitude? Different versions of that question. When I would say this is not something to do a lot. The other two, the am I aware, what am I aware of, those we try to connect in pretty regularly, pretty continuously. And again, over time, you can see, can you let go of the actual questions and just kind of sit in the flow, be in the flow of kind of, oh, connect, connect, connect. What, what? It could get down to just that simple, what? 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 What's happening? Obvious. What's obvious? The checking into the attitude, I would say, you know, do it from time to time. Maybe, you know, six or so times in the sitting, you know, every, say, 5 minutes, every 5 to 8 minutes, check into your attitude. We can get a little enthusiastic about checking the attitude. It's like, oh, what's my attitude? Oh, what's my attitude? What's my attitude about that? Oh, what's my attitude about that? And it kind of goes into an infinite regress or something, you know. So just check in from time to time. What's my relationship to this experience? Something may be obvious. It's not, asking that question is not to try to figure it out, not to try to think about it. It is to just drop that question into your meditation and see, does it help to open us to see something else that's present in the way we're relating to experience that we hadn't particularly noticed? So we're paying attention to a sound, you know, the sound of a motorcycle going by. That's happening pretty quickly. But you know, say we're paying attention to the sound of a leaf blower. And there's that happening. And then there's our, you know, relationship to that, you know. Don't they know there's a meditation group going today? I mean, why don't they do it someplace else today? A little bit of aversion perhaps is happening. So the checking into the question isn't to try to figure it out. It's more drop the question in and see, is there something you hadn't noticed around how you're relating to the experience? Something may be very obvious. You're paying attention to knee pain, and you check in, and you recognize, yeah, I don't like that knee pain. It's like glaringly obvious what the attitude is about the experience. Sometimes it's not so obvious. If there's nothing that kind of pops in obviously, just let it go and continue with the, am I aware and what am I aware of? You don't need to try to have an answer to that question. Sometimes it may be that basically the mind is pretty relaxed or balanced about experience. Calm might be the attitude. You know, three basic flavors of attitude, four basic flavors of attitude around our experience. There's when we like something that's happening, we want more of it, we want to have something, to construct something, to create something. That's the attitude of greed. There's the wanting something to go away, not liking, wanting to get rid of. That's the attitude of aversion. Then there's confusion, disconnection, related to delusion. Delusion's got way, the attitudes around delusion can be pretty complex. I'm not going to try to go into that so much today. But we may begin to recognize, okay, yeah, there's a disconnection. I'm not really, there's like a haze, a filter between me and my experience. So some delusion. And then we may also see, oh, actually, I feel pretty okay about the experience. That's also an attitude. That's a more balanced attitude. That's what my teacher Utejaniya calls wise attitude or right attitude. When we can be attentive to experience without reactivity, without wanting something to happen or to go away, without being confused about it. We get to no wise attitude. We get to recognize that direction of wise attitude by getting to know what's in its way. So the practice of exploring the attitude begins to uncover some attitudes that may not be so helpful, and yet that's the thread that leads us towards wise attitude. When we uncover something that's hidden in our experience, we uncover like reactivity in our mind that we hadn't seen. There's an opportunity for that reactivity to go from like being behind the curtain, manipulating the levers, you know, to, you know, Toto pulls back the curtain and there's the wizard, you know. There is the reactivity right in plain view. We can know that. And we can, so essentially at that point, instead of that being our relationship to experience, that becomes what we are knowing. So rather than kind of informing how we're relating to experience, it just becomes something else that's known. Oh, reactivity is happening right now. We can have a kind of a balanced relationship with that. And so this practice of checking our attitude essentially, you know, it uncovers unhelpful attitudes, it uncovers reactivity. But that very uncovering helps to take us closer to non-reactivity. We can be aware of reactivity with a non-reactive mind. And so that reactivity is no longer functioning in our lives in the same way. It's no longer blindly leading us, pulling the levers behind the curtain. It's right out in front of us. And we can recognize, oh, how are those levers being manipulated? So in this practice, what we are paying attention to isn't so important. The actual experience of what's going on isn't the emphasis here. What's happening might be sound, it might be body sensation, it might be emotion, it might be thought, it might be feeling. That is cultivating, just the recognition, moment after moment, this is what's happening, this is what's happening. That's cultivating the stability of mindfulness. The more important aspect is beginning to recognize, how are we paying attention? And again, to check in just from time to time about that. Seeing what our relationship to experience is. So, the wandering mind. This is the last piece I'll offer, and then we'll go into a guided meditation. You probably will notice in this style of practice, especially initially, it may feel like the mind is wandering more. It may actually be wandering more. It may actually be doing that, or it may be that you're just noticing more of the thinking because of the orientation of this practice. In the moment where you notice that you have been thinking, the moment where you wake up into that, the moment of remembering, I like to call it the moment of remembering because it seems more positive than noticing that we were lost. We're actually noticing that we're remembering in that moment. In that moment, the first thing to check into is recognizing awareness is back and taking that in. I mean, this is a great moment. It is such a great moment because it is completely effortless. You didn't have to do that moment of mindfulness. You didn't have to prompt it. You didn't have to ask, am I aware? Awareness arose. So that moment of remembering, that moment of noticing, oh, I'm back. Take in that moment, what is it like to be aware? The next thing to check into is, how has where I've been gone to, you know, the mind has gone off into something or other. It might have gone off into an argument. It might have gone off into, being on the beach on a sunny day. How has that wandering impacted your present moment experience? Not going back and thinking about how was it then, but you've woken up into something. You've become aware. How has that impacted you? What's happening now in the moment as a result of the fact that you'd been wandering? If you'd been thinking about arguing with a friend, there may be tension, contraction, tightness in the body, frustration in the mind, perhaps an emotion in the mind related to that. If you'd been fantasizing about being on the beach on a sunny day, there may actually be some relaxation and ease in the body. Just noticing what is happening in that moment. If you notice when you come back in that moment, you recognize, oh, I'm aware, and oh, there's some tension that's come in, some tension that's crept into my experience. Take a few moments to reconnect with the practice of relaxing the body, relaxing the mind, and then going back to just moment to moment, knowing what's happening. It is also possible in the wandering that you actually will find out that the wandering has created a more relaxed, easeful experience in your body than you were before the mind wandered. If that's what's happened, appreciate that. We can connect with that more relaxed experience, and then just see if we can bring that relaxed experience to the knowing moment to moment of experience. So let's take a moment to stand up, stretch your legs before we do a guided meditation.